Yippee-yi-yay.
Listeners know that I don't put on an act. If anything, I'm real. Believe me, too real. I wish sometimes I can't control myself. It's not even integrity. I just have to do it. That's how Kyle Serafin is. And that's who I try to align myself with in life is integrity. I don't. Is this something you have? It's something you are. But that said, I like to think about things, and I'll kind of hesitate sometimes to make sure I'm right. And if anything, Serafin knows he's right. He just goes at it. I haven't seen where he's been wrong. In this short segment, let's put bookends on this. I just have to state the bigger story here. I know this. Your post the last few days, 10 million views or whatever. I was looking at them. The FBI director flipping out, firing people. This is a good scandal. I've already said this 8 times. I want you to elaborate on that. Do you agree? This is a good scandal. How does the audience of tens of millions tuning in and millions will watch this later, how do we not have the Democrats hijack this and use this to hurt the Trump admin? How do we use this to restore it and reprove it and extract the cancer?
Yeah, all you got to do is be honest, which is to say that you're not omnipotent. You're not God. Just because you're the president doesn't mean you know all the things that happen in all the agencies. That'd be absurd. My analogy is that if you're the president of the United States, you're like the CEO of Walmart. You don't know what the door greeter or the cashiers are doing in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, at some small Walmart there. So he can go out and say, look, I was not aware of these problems, but obviously they still exist. And we're going to get to the heart of it because these are the people that came after so many of my supporters. They came after other people, including people on the left. People can read the reporting of Trevor Aronson and the Alphabet Boys podcast that he did, showing that they were going after BLM supporters for free speech in a really, really dangerous way, that the FBI serves the FBI. It doesn't serve Democrats. It doesn't serve Republicans. It serves what's advantageous for FBI funding at any given time. That's been my message. It's apolitical. It is not partisan. It's simply that the people that could kill you in our government are doing so because they think they're doing the right thing for their agency, and that's where they're subservient to. So we need to have that highlighted. And so he can use this as an opportunity to say, look, they're going to dunk on me because I didn't know that the case agent of the case that was investigating me is still working for the Bureau and he's flying around the FBI director. Got it. Now I know. I'm now aware of it, and there's things that I would like to see happen. I would like to get rid of people that do not want to do the thing that they signed up to do, which means they have to throw the flag, that they are required to either become a whistleblower or to resign in disgust. And you know, we're having a moment right now where that actually is pretty obvious. The folks that I worked with in the COVID sort of pushback, they're called Feds for Medical Freedom. They just got a settlement today. DOJ just settled with them. Government-wide, they're going to get rid of the COVID vaccine databases that were gathered for federal employees. This is actually kind of a big win because it shows that they are admitting that it wasn't the Trump administration that did it. They're the ones going after and fixing it. I think it took too long, but it got done. They're going to get rid of the vaccine database that said you could be discriminated against for your vax status with COVID-19. That's a big deal. They've also agreed to pay some of the legal fees. So Feds for Med Freedom has been pushing that.
People don't know it's these databases that are the key to persecution, so getting rid of them is the big win.
That's the purge option. Yeah, they always knew who the problems were going to be, and I know my name was on a handful of lists inside the FBI. Look, I've got a case that's going to mediation, Alex, in Houston on August 29th. The DOJ is going to have to decide whether or not they discriminate against me, whether they fired me improperly, and whether or not they did what's called disparate impact, which is to say that all the people that they managed to affect with the COVID vaccine mandates just happened to be Christians who were faithful to the things they believed. And so they're going to have to adjudicate that. I hope that they're favorable. I hope they come in and say, look, this wasn't our administration, but we admit there was wrongdoing and we want to make you guys whole. At the end of the day, getting even small wins in this is the way that you de-weaponize, defang.
Sure, what do you make of Kennedy when they tried to put in 2 new COVID shots, new mRNAs? He just banned them all, banning the mercury. I mean,
Use the tools you have at your disposal. At the end of the day, there's only a few things that could really bite you. I think the DOJ, and this is why I harp in on it. Yeah, it's my expertise area, but the DOJ is the attack dog of the federal government. It's just what it is.
It's the Praetorian Guard. You should harp on it. It's the heart of the deep state.
And the fangs that are going to bite you in that dog is very simple. It's like, what do they look like? It's ATF, it's FBI, it's it's the United States Marshal Service, and it's the DEA. And then sort of like DHS is the other dog that runs with it and bites you too. And they've got some other little teeth. But we have to defang these things so they can't come after anybody. Doesn't matter if you're on the left or the right.
We got to constitutionally point the dog at real problems. We'll be right back. Correct. With Kyle Serafin, 60 seconds. Stay with us. I have some very exciting news. Optimal Human is hands down the best green superfood, super nutrient concentrate I've ever had. The folks at Bigly have had this out for years, and it's their star product, and it became a bestseller very quickly because people, when they got it, loved it so much. If I told you everything that's in it and how concentrated it is, it would take an hour. This has the kitchen sink and then some in it. If you're missing any of the trace, not just the stuff they say is essential, but all the other trace elements and vitamins and prebiotic and probiotics, it's got everything in it. And again, these are all concentrated, and it's got a bunch of stuff for healthy energy in it too. So folks absolutely love Optimal Human, and it works synergistically with the Shilajit, the IRC Moss, the Ultimate Turmeric, and the Methylene Blue. We've been sold out of this. It came in, and I finally got it a couple days ago, and man, is it awesome. It is a game changer. If you haven't gotten it, you are really missing out at thealexjonesstore.com. And so it never sells out. Be sure to become a subscriber and get special discounts when you do that.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
You know, I saw a former high-level CIA officer recently on the podcast. We're going to play it coming up later before Carl Serafin leaves us, saying, listen, when I was at the CIA, he was just talking about like 10 years ago, he'd been there for decades, he said, they called us in, they said, you don't show crosses, you don't show any thing on Christmas, any of it, that's hateful and bad. But you could have all your burkas and everything else. And then he later talked to him and found out the higher-ups why. Well, we keep finding it's Christians that won't go along with the agenda. And so Trump last week said, hey, anybody in a federal agency at their own desk can display their religious iconography. Well, obviously, but I remember 25 years ago in Texas, public schools were saying you can't give Christmas cards out. But no, separation of church and state, people say that's a letter from Jefferson, doesn't exist. No, it does exist in that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. It means government doesn't have a jurisdiction. The government can't tell you to be a Baptist or a Catholic or a Muslim or a Buddhist or a Zoroastrist or a Satanist or an agnostic. But you can talk about God to whoever you want. Now, if it's during work time, you're supposed to be on a job, that's fine. But at the water cooler, anywhere, you know, you can't sexually harass somebody. You can't, try to get somebody to cook methamphetamine with you. But anything legal, in fact, let's play a clip of the former CIA case officer here. I want to play this now because Kevin Shipp, very respected, because we don't have to believe him. This is on record. And, you know, I told people these stories a long time ago. They were all off record, so I didn't say who. But it was Mark Dice, like 15 years ago, because I knew the people at the same True TV, and I'd met with some of the same executives. They knew that with me. I had a show with Jesse Ventura, you know, like, I guess 15 years ago, too. But they call him in. He's about to do a show with Motley Crue, a conspiracy show. And they said, Mark, we really like you. This is like the number two executive at the production company for True TV, one of the biggest reality TV shows. And he says, and I've known Mark like 25 years. Mark's not a BSer. And they said, Mark, we want you to pledge allegiance to Lucifer. And Mark says, is this some leftist joke? To like, you know, no, we're serious. Everybody has to do that here. And that's all true that these rock bands and stuff, they like pray over the tapes and stuff. And you're like, that's crazy. No, it's an initiation to see if you'll do it. Like MS-13 does satanic rituals. And people hear this, they go, this is crazy. No, this is real. This is a spiritual battle. So I think it's important at the end of the day before we hit this other news to understand that these initiations, the mafia go kill somebody so they can know you're corrupt, they got dirt on you. That's the old-fashioned Italian mafia. That's like child's play compared to what really goes on. The pedophilia, Epstein. I want to hit the latest on Epstein with Carl Serafin, but since Carl, you know, keeps bringing it up about the targeting of Christians, it's true because for whatever reason, whether it's conservative Catholics who are their main target, because I found some of the most pious people involved, like Mel Gibson, the Fight Against Evil, are Catholics. And I'm non-denominational. I just know you have a relationship with Christ. That's it. So there's Christians that are Protestants, Catholics, whatever. But at the top of these organizations, whether it's the main Protestant groups, the Catholic groups, look at the Protestant groups are all like super hyper Zionist now. like Christ said, don't go to the Pharisees or the priests for God. You've got to have a relationship with God yourself. The New Agers go, oh, that means you're God. No, the kingdom of heaven is with you, your relationship with God. But this is a real battle between good versus evil. And I have had these meetings, not with True TV, but in other cases where it came down to this. And it's happened, but they were off record, so you never talked about it. But it's like living in the movie The Devil's Advocate. This stuff is real, people. Here's the clip.
Why Christians? I remember the Soviet Union made a statement that we could control all of our entire population except the Christians. And they had to put them in prison and in gulags. And I remember 1994 when I was in the CIA, we were ordered into a conference room. We all filed in. There's about 30 of us. And our division chief starts off by saying, now, don't get mad at me. I'm just the messenger. This comes down from the director of the CIA. You can no longer say Merry Christmas in any CIA office space. You cannot have a manger scene on your desk or on your door, or you will face administrative penalties. And the sad part was only two of us, our jaws dropped. Like, what? And the CIA was actively against Christians, and they used DEI as a method to suppress them. And I remember it was Christmas Eve, and I walked out. You know, I thought about this, prayed about this overnight, and I said, oh, no, you don't. So I walked out on New Year's Eve, and I turned around to everybody, and I said, good night, and by the way, Merry Christmas. I'm like, you know, there is a line you don't cross. Well, there was an outrage from the CIA populace, and as evil people always do, when they got resistance, they backed off and said, well, never mind, you know. But it has been Christianity, because the Christians are the only ones that will not answer to tyranny. We believe in God and a higher power, and we will not be manipulated by a tyrannical regime. And that's why Christians are despised around the world, including in this previous administration. My goodness. And going back to Obama, how they attacked.
And record level persecution. So finishing up with that, why are Christians under so much attack, Carl Sarafin?
It's really straightforward. Actually, this is one of the things that my buddies and I have called the thermal exhaust port. There are a lot of Christians inside federal service. The story you're seeing on the screen is the story that I broke in February of 2023. It spawned multiple congressional investigations. It hit home very directly, not just for traditional Catholics who like Latin Mass, not just for sort of more, more regular Catholics, more sort of pedestrian Catholics. My wife and I don't always go to Latin Mass, but for people who are broadly speaking Christian, and I would actually say it expands even to just people that are conservative in general. The reason the FBI was investigating Latin Mass Catholics in that particular article, and I think this goes exactly to the point you were just talking about there, the reason they investigated them was straightforward. They didn't like their views on abortion, so baby sacrifices to whatever the hell it is, like, you know, feminism and modern ideology. They didn't like the way that children were being treated with gender ideology. So if you have a problem with the way that that was going on, then it's your problem. Like, you can't be part of our group. We're going to investigate you for what's called domestic terrorism or racially motivated violent extremism, which is basically white supremacy. They did the same thing about your stance on the border. If you don't think this country should stop an invasion at the southern border, if you thought that there should actually be rules for coming into America, then you're the problem. The FBI investigated from multiple field offices. They surveilled priests. They got national security letters from guys like Steven Jensen. By the way, Steve Jensen, the guy who's being fired, like apparently by tomorrow, that guy who also did the domestic terrorism claim on J6ers was the same guy that would have been in charge when this was going down. Do you realize like how crazy it is that the only people that are going to stand up and say, you know what, I do believe in a higher power and it's not government. I do think that leftism is a secular religion. It's a godless religion. And those people worship the state and the power of the state. And so some reason over the last maybe 50 or 60 years, people, even reasonable Christians and conservatives have gotten it twisted and they start believing this one thing, that we have a separation of church and state and that we basically have freedom from religion in this country. No, no, no. You have freedom of religion, which means that you can practice it as you see fit. The government can't make any law respecting a specific religion. They can't mandate that you worship one way or another, but they sure as hell can't take it away from you. And that's what we've acted like it should be done. And that's why they take prayer out of schools. And that's why they take the Ten Commandments out in front of these, state capitals. All of it is this belief that we have freedom from religion because it might offend somebody.
But the truth is they're scared of people that have a system they don't control. So let me just show you a clip. There's so many of these. Here's a history teacher. So the left would always deny in textbooks in college, even when I went to a little bit of college, oh, the Aztecs, the Mayan culture before it, the Incas, they did never do human sacrifice. But you go down there to the degree people from Mexico City, they go, oh, no, here's where they did it. You know, millions of people sacrificed over the thousands of years. Incas were kind when they did child sacrifice. white history hides it. So human sacrifice is good. It's kind and loving. The left's not even denying it now. Feminist women have shirts. I had abortions. I love it. It's fun. This is how sick they are. Here's a clip.
I will die on this hill. I'm specifically talking about the Inga here. We're not talking about the Mexica. That's a whole separate type of sacrifice. If we're just looking at Tehuantin Suyu, the Quechua people of the Incan Empire, they practice sacrifices like most other civilizations throughout history in times of crisis. So famine, natural disasters. But the unique thing about the Quechua is that when you're looking at like the Incan civilization, you essentially have the elites and then you have everyone else. Sacrifices were volunteers from the elite class because they believed that the elites were closer to the gods and could therefore appease them
better. They cast their enemies and sacrifice
them.
Also,
in terms of sacrifice, they were kind about it. Hear me out. Because unlike the Mexica, when you're like ripping out a still beating heart out of someone's chest, the Inca would intentionally use coca leaves and would use chicha and would drug up the sacrifice and then leave them on a mountain, a cold, chilly mountain, to be exposed to the elements. Which, if you're a volunteer sacrifice where you're heavily drugged before you die. Also, I mean, I can equate human sacrifice throughout history to so many things. And I think the fact that a lot of people are commenting, oh, but the sacrifice is again indicative of the fact that you have received a quite white education because you are knowing them for the bad things that they have done and not all of the wonders that they accomplished. I hope that this maybe helps you understand a different part.
Yeah, thanks for helping us about it. Dr. Michael Kaufman, before he died, great professor, showed me UN documents that I confirmed from the late 60s where they said we're going to bring back human sacrifice so people don't value human life. Folks, the entire Inca Mesoamerican culture, the Aztecs and all of it came out, well, Toltecs and the Inca and all that, they sacrificed everybody, and they would capture their enemies and do it at Chichen Itza everywhere. I've been to those things in Central South America, a bunch of them. It's fascinating. They would give them enemas of alcohol and hallucinogens so they wouldn't fight, and then the priest class made their money down below at a market where they butchered it and sold the human flesh. And so here's this woman in Mexico in freezing climates. They would freeze themselves to death. There's no mountains with ice on them in Mexico. The woman is a damn liar. But here's the left telling us human sacrifice, which she's right. Until the Judeo-Christian, until Abraham, the angel says, don't sacrifice your son, kill the ram instead. That's when that begins, saying, stop the human sacrifice. Thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire of Moloch, neither shall they profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. And then, yeah, the first, you know, we see genocide. God says, kill the Canaanites. They're killing their kids. I mean, this idea, what do you make of this? I know we've digressed. We're going to get into Epstein here.
No, this is perfect. I love this. And this is my favorite thing to do. I'm going to give your audience, your listeners, just a little tool. It's the Socratic method, but specifically I'm going to arm them with the tools. When you talk to someone like that, who is a crazy person, a wild leftist that has decided to buy into things that don't make any sense. Okay, we are talking about a Christian world that we live in right now, especially in the United States. This is a Christian nation, whether people like it or not. And the reason I know that is because I can go look at our laws.
Prosperity came from it. We're living on fumes, but I agree.
There's zero chance that came from anywhere else. And all you got to do is ask them this. Why do you think the way you do? Where did your values come from? And let them answer it. Because I don't care if they're a Marxist or whatever else. If they came from anything in the Western tradition, and by the way, if they live here, they did. They all come from a Christian ideology. If you think that the poor have innate value because they're human beings, where did that come from? Because that wasn't historically understood. That had a turning point about 2,000 years ago. You can actually pinpoint exactly when the poor and people who had less than you were thought of as being of any value whatsoever.
First time because it was previously Jesus people Christ. Said, first time.
That's it. People before it, all they did is they looked out and they said, oh, well, these people don't have anything. They're unfavored by God.
In the Old Testament, even with the Jews, and they were more moral compared to their surrounding realms, it's true. If you were poor, you were a slave.
And more importantly, we have that child sacrifice. We had one sacrifice. It was the child of God that was sacrificed. That's what you believe. That took place of all sacrifices. Whenever anybody gives me this kind of this shtick and they're like, well, don't you think the world should be more moral and fair? It's like, yeah, I love that. But I already know that's not the case. Anybody who's Christian does. Here's the argument that ends all arguments. If you are a Christian, it's really simple. The only perfect man to ever walk the earth was butchered by the state, killed like a criminal, and did nothing wrong. If you think the world's going to be fair, like because of that, it pretty much is evidence that a perfect human being was killed by something that was evil. And we all have a little bit of it. That's the whole point. We all got a little piece of it. And that's really the reminder that you have. And when you started talking about whether or not you're, you know, whether you're Catholic or whether you're a Protestant or whether you fall under any of the different kind of denominations out there, that's all fine. But I want people to think about this. There are some interesting truths that come out of places like Hollywood where they do a lot of propaganda and messaging. Look at what the devil is scared of in any presentation you've ever seen of evil. They're scared of the Catholic exorcism rituals. Why would that be? Why is it that when you go back and you use the original Latin that goes back almost 2,000 years and you start using some of these old prayers that have always been able to call out and conjure and send off demons and pull them out of people? It's a real thing. There is a real evil, and we've seen some of it, and a lot of its best job is when it hides. My friend Mark Houck, who is, was famously targeted by the FBI, he said the devil is always loudest when he's losing. So we oftentimes see these people shrieking and saying insane things like the Incas were really, really kind as they sacrificed people. You know what's more kind? Not sacrificing people. We already had that sacrifice, and it took place a long time ago.
How up on the ice top mountains, no, they did it on top pyramids in the middle of rainforest. I mean,
it's revisionist history, because if we can convince you of things that are not real, if we can convince you to doubt your own knowledge, if you can look and say, hey, that's not what Mexico looks like. And she was saying Inca, so maybe she's talking about the top of the Andes. It doesn't make a difference to me, because there's no real kind way to sacrifice your child. And your kid, which this is another thing that kind of goes into it, right? They love the idea that a person under a certain age is able to consent to things like, I don't know, giving up your life. How many 7, 8, 10, 12, 15-year-olds have a concept of being able to make a life-changing decision or die?
They can't sell us all the pedophilia or human sacrifice, so let's just chop away your fertility.
Let's just normalize things and act like these children always had a choice. Like, Alex, all of this stuff, you have to believe things that they know are not true. You have to believe things that average, they don't live their lives like this. As my buddy calls them, the elite communists, they don't live like the street communists. The street communists are unmarried and they're out there saying, shout your abortion and sacrifice your children and blah, blah, blah. Don't have any babies.
Because don't have kids. He's got like 8 of them or something.
Exactly. They all live in basically normal heterosexual relationships. They go forward and do the things that all of us would expect is a normal way of living and has been for, you know, 2,000 years in Western history.
We do this so they don't compete with us.
It's just disingenuous and lying. I just think that it's really tough to be a leftist because it is a religion of recruits, because at the end of the day, they don't want their children because they're not having them if they're part of the street communists out there marching. They're the ones that are trying to actually live out the thing. The elite communists live just like you and me. They're having babies and getting married to normal people. They're living lives. They're saving their money. You know, they're trying to keep their money by not paying as much taxes and all this kind of stuff. It's the street communists that are the useful idiots out there.
Oh,
that
no,
are
I agree. It's worse than that. If you look at the so-called communists, they're all like the leaders, they're all the richest, and they run tax scams to pay nothing. There's studies. Conservatives give more to charity, are way more truthful, and make way less money. And then the more elitist and liberal you are, They're ultra rich. It's all a lie. It's like the Communist Party China. It's all a bunch of generals or billionaires.
That's right. I'll tell you what, the most money I've ever made, I gave the most money to charity that year. And I gave it in a non-tax deductible way because I saw a need of people that I knew needed something. And it's like, well, I have the means. How would I not fix this problem? And by the way, all of those ideas are very Christian. It turns out if you have things,
no,
you can
no
help people around you.
Christianity, people say hard times make strong men. Strong men make good times. Good times make weak men. Weak men make bad times. And that's overall true, but it's true. Only Christendom, and it wasn't perfectly implemented, and when Rome fell, it was still Christianity that literally has done everything that tried to ban slavery, restricted it greatly. Everything good has come out of the attempt to be Christian.
All you got to do is ask them, where did your values come from? Why do you believe the things you believe? What does it go back to? And at the end of the day, if they think there's innate value in a human being, if you think that the poor are people that are valued, whether or not they can contribute, whether you think that people have individual dignity and liberty, whether you think there's a spark of divinity in them, whether you think that you should help people who are less fortunate than yourself, every single flipping one of those things is a Christian value.
Well, let's
at this
go
point.
Forward.
That
I
is where it came
attack,
from.
I don't want to attack Zen Buddhists or Buddhists or Hindus, but you go to India, you study it, you go to all those places. They say, well, that's just the way it is. It's like the Muslims when, famous stories of like, you know, the building's burning, the little girl gets her sister out, the dad beats her because it was God's will, let your sister burn. It's Christianity says, no, you've got a responsibility to lay down your body for your brother, not just the golden rule, you know, do unto others you have to do unto you. That's the beginning. No, lay down your life for your brother, your sister. That's the greatest thing. And we have that attitude. We're not giving something up. We're building an incredible society around that. And it is real Christianity that is the fount of success. And that's why the tyrants hate it, because it gets in the way of their tyranny.
It's not controllable. Yeah. How can you predict what someone would do when their entire life is about self-preservation and building themselves up? And then they have that one moment where they're able to lay down their life for their brother and they give it all up in a way that nobody could logically predict. This was actually one of the end pieces of the book Ender's Game, which is a really great story. It's a story about leadership, and it's a good thing for people who are in the military.
I've read the book and seen the movie. Yeah, tell us your view on it.
So if you read the end of Ender's Game, what they do is the way that they're able to actually conquer this alien race that is this, you know, non-communicative sort of conquering force. You have all these people that basically they learn the lessons. The aliens are learning the lessons of human fighters, that they preserve every individual fighter, that every person has value and worth, and that every single one of us does our most to protect our brother, but also protect ourselves and carry on to the next battle and so on. Right up into the point where someone is willing to make an ultimate sacrifice. And it's not something you can predict. The alien is unable to predict that one person, a sentient, intelligent, like self-determinant being, would go forward and voluntarily lay their life down for those around them so that more people could continue. And so that's the fundamental thing that human beings have in the story Ender's Game.
And you said the king, we're not communists that mindlessly follow some king ant, which the aliens are ants.
Right.
We don't mindlessly sacrifice ourselves like ants. It's at key points we're ready to do it because we're total individualists.
And it's voluntary. I'm a grown-up. I have the ability to see that I'm going to put my life on the line because, again, this Christian value, there's no greater love than if you lay down your life for your brother. And what if your brother is all the civilization of your brother and everyone that could ever come after you? Then maybe you do that. I mean, it's a very Christ-like sort of, you're following the example of Christ.
But you also know we're going to lose everything if you don't. You know you're going to lose everything if you don't do it.
That's it. Yeah. Look, if everybody's going to die or just I'm going to die, I'm going to go lay on that grenade, right? I mean, there are people that have made this decision countless times. We award them for valor. We call it what it is. But this is what permeates literature. And this is all inspired by Christianity. The guy who wrote that Orson Scott Card is Mormon, but he wrote about Catholics, which is interesting too. That was his kind of stand-in because he couldn't write about the Mormon church. But the value system there of being able to see that there is an inherent value in people. You ask, where did you get your values from? And it's really obvious. And Americans should be more honest about it, because anytime you're able to hear this lady talk about some sort of like cultural relativism and the Incas were really compassionate and they allowed people to voluntarily sacrifice themselves, you're insane.
No, I agree.
There's a reason why
the
government
is targeting
these people.
You've already done over an hour, but you stay there. I want to come do Epstein when we come back, but I'm not a big Star Trek fan, but I do like Wrath of Khan. And you got Spock realizes that they're about to detonate this weapon that's going to kill them all. He didn't want to die, but if he doesn't go in the reactor and fix it, they're all going to die. So he makes a decision to go fix the reactor. And that's really the thing is, we're not the communists go, oh, be collective, give yourself up for the greater good when we give you the order. No, through Christ, we make the decision when to make the sacrifice. And it may not be willing to, you know, at that point die, but it's willing to be attacked, willing to be put in jail, willing to be persecuted. And that's why they fear real Christians. Is that what you're saying?
It's the story of red or white martyrdom. So if you're going to give up your life, it's called red martyrdom. This is a historic concept. The things that my buddies and I thought we were getting involved in is usually called white martyrdom. So you lose social prestige, you lose a job, you lose money, your family loses opportunity, things bad happen to you and you're willing to bear that burden. So martyrdom comes in various forms. And yes, like the idea is that you're willing to go up to and including the example of Christ, red martyrdom. Or you're willing to do some lighter version. Here's the thing that I think is really telling for people to think about, Alex. You had an entire federal government that was 100% okay with enforcing these COVID vaccines, which is something I alluded to earlier. These people weren't willing to lose their job. Steve Jensen wasn't willing to lose his job. Chris Meyer wasn't willing to lose his job standing up to the FBI. He wasn't willing to lose his job. You think he was willing to lay down his life on behalf of the Constitution?
No, I agree. Stay there. Let's hit Epstein when we come back.
We saw this.
And again, to me, it's not even a choice. When the Democrats came to me in those negotiations 4 years ago, 2 years ago, they said, listen, we'll drop it all. We'll drop the suits, but we want you to work for us. I said, no. And they couldn't believe it. They said, we're going to destroy you. And I said, I will be destroyed if I sell my soul to you. It wasn't even a question. And it's not that I'm a hero. I'm just not a slave. We'll be right back. A major TheAlexShowStore.com news alert. I am cutting this announcement on the 30th of July, 2025. That means you've only got 7 days to take advantage of this massive sale at TheAlexShowStore.com. Store-wide, buy one bottle of any of the amazing supplements or any of the Patriot Apparel, T-shirts, ball caps, you name it, and you get another item absolutely free at TheAlexShowStore.com. And there's a catch, but it's a good catch. You got to be a VIP. It's $30 a month. It's just like being an Amazon Prime. You get $40 to spend in the store each month. special deals, special offers, special sales. You get massive discounts on every product right away by being a VIP, and you can cancel with one click in your profile anytime. Go to thealexshowstore.com right now and get ultramethylene blue capsules or liquid. Buy one, get one free. Power Plant, next level energy, way stronger than even Turbo Force. It's crazy. You add it with methylene drive product, it's dangerous. Be careful. These are incredible products. The Shilajit capsules and gummies. Ultimate Burn, incredible natural fat burning formula. Works great, people love it. Ultimate CMOS gummies and the capsules. The very strongest turmeric. Prebiotics, probiotics, gut cleanse. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. The next 7 days, buy one, get one free when you're a VIP. I want to thank you all for your support. These are incredible products. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and experience what it does for your health and overall vitality, and know you're fighting the tip of the spear. Thank you so much for your support. Go now to thealexjonesstore.com.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old. Mel Gibson also praised methylene blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
I saw Alex Jones and he looks really good, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he's losing all weight.
Taking back my health.
You're so good.
That's the only impression I could do.
Yeah, Alex looks good, man. Yeah, lost some weight.
He
looks good.
Dude, he looks great.
Yeah.
He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts.
He's definitely one of my bucket list people to meet at some point.
Oh, I can introduce you to Alex.
Yeah.
We can make that happen for sure.
Come on.
It's so noticeable. I was like, wow, he looks handsome.
But I text Alex all the time. I know him. He's just losing weight. But if you go online, there's a lot of people that believe that this is like a different person. He looks great. That's all it is. He looks great.
Here's your daily motivation. Alex Jones is 51 years old. He's been through more shit than you will ever go through. The deep state has come for his life. They have come for his business. They fined him billions of dollars for free speech. Alex Jones has had his rights stripped away. They've tried to take this man's life for speaking truth. Alex Jones went from looking like this to looking now like this. Alex Jones is getting ripped. Alex Jones is getting yoked, showing all of us that no matter our age, no matter what's thrown at us in life, no matter how many troubles or trials that we have, what really matters is who you are on the rock-ribbed inside. Do you have gunpowder in your gut? Do you have some grit in your teeth? Can you be a man in the face of all of it? Your promised struggles in this life, can you punch back? Alex Jones is a motivation and a vibe today.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Listen, folks, just like I told you 33 days ago, and it's not rocket science, when they put that memo out and nobody's name was on it, and it was Axios, that's a whole 10-hour discussion with somebody that researches this. And then I call Serafin up, and I'm literally like listening to myself, but even more. He's like, yeah, that's the deep state, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, obviously they didn't put their name on it because it's the system. They're all scared, and they've been told to do it, and you're not going to get it as I told you. And then you're... And then Trump keeps doubling down on this when, I know last time I talked to Kyle, he may have changed his mind. There's no evidence of Trump, but then I've talked to high-level people, and I'm not even really going to say what I was told. Let's just say this. Trump isn't being threatened by the CIA to kill him if he releases it, because it was now coming out that Epstein was an FBI informant, as I said years ago, and that he was Mossad and the CIA was overseeing it with all these other people, and it was money laundering, and it was drug dealing, and it was human trafficking. It was a air traffic control system, it was that this will bring down the stock market because so many corporate people are involved. And it's not like they got caught in honey traps, most of them. They wanted to go join the club as an initiation. And so screwing 15-year-old girls is just an hors d'oeuvre. And you know, so I agree with a lot of the people I respect and have talked to that was a lot bigger than that. People go, oh, you're covering up the pedophilia. No, I'm saying this was much larger. So shifting gears into that, Kyle Serafin, but first, you were bringing up a famous poem that I have heard of that I think is indicative of what we're dealing with here. And then let's get into the fourth, maybe more, it's at least four 180s in 33 days by Trump, who's not stupid, so why would he be Streisanding? You said at least 4 months ago before this broke, when they first, Bongino and Patel went on Fox like deer in the headlights and did that this is an order from the top and that there are really bad PR advisors to Trump and the FBI. And now that's clearly happened. And you told me on air months later, but privately, you'll never get any of it. And now you've been just like dead on. So there's a lot to unpack there. I know to go into the thought process how you do that. There's so many data points, you probably can't even do it. That's the way my brain works too. But just in general, get to the poem. And then I want to get to this clip of Trump yesterday. And why would he engage with the mother of all Streisand effects? It's actually more than four times. He's on major 180s four times. Yeah, go ahead.
It's just flip-flop factory. I'll tell you what, if you want to hold the poem as a kind of as a closing thought, because I do think it ties a lot of this stuff together, we can hold on to it for a second. But I want to tell you why what is going on with the Epstein flip-flops is very much the same situation, at least in my estimation. This is Kyle's analysis. It's the same thing that you just saw with Stephen J. Six Jensen. It's the same story. We're going to talk you into doing something stupid. We're going to have you promote that person. Then you're going to go and you're going to make a reversal. Now you got to go defend things that you have no ability to offend. You're going to look like a fool in front of all your people. It's the same thing that you and I have talked about in person, which is that if I isolate you from your base, if I isolate you from the natural people who would support you, go look at any post that either Dan Bongino or Cash Patel or even that Donald Trump might put out.
You said that over 4 months ago. You said they're being set up with bad advice to be destroyed before they did it.
And then look, a third of the responses on any social media post of any of these people, it does the same thing. People are like, hey, where's the Epstein files? Hey,
so they go get the job and they just listen to whoever was already there. How stupid is that?
It's the dumbest thing ever. It's like, but listen, these are people that are paid and their whole life is on the line. I mean, they're incentivized to follow their programming. They're incentivized to support their agency above the Constitution, even.
So when you follow the exact programming, you get promoted. That's why they become robotic.
That's who's there. Listen,
well, how did somebody like you get the FBI that's so amazingly smart? I mean, you are. Let me ask this. How many, percentage-wise, dead reckoning, how many people in the FBI are as smart as Kyle Serafin? Because I'd love the FBI was full of guys like you.
Okay, so all right, this is like, that's kind of an uncomfortable question. I have an IQ that's in the 99.9 percentile based on the standardized test that I've taken. So like that's just a data point. Doesn't mean that I do the smartest things ever because I've done a lot of dumb things in my life. But when it comes to academic capabilities, I have a high one. I would estimate that the FBI hires from the 75th percentile and above. So some of my colleagues I would consider pretty dim, but they're smarter than the average person on the street, and therefore they're effective at what they're doing. And your best workers are never going to be guys that are super smart. In fact, those people see all the problems and all the angles, and a lot of, I mean, there's nothing more common than unrewarded genius.
A lot of really smart guys overthink it, but you're
right.
Really smart.
And they can't get any horsepower.
Yeah, no horsepower.
Here's the problem that I had, Alex. I showed up the first couple days. They do a thing called the 1 week. And this is where people who are bright get real in trouble with organizations like the FBI. They love like an 85th percentile guy, smarter than average, you know, hard worker, competent, doesn't say no, doesn't buck the system. That's your Steve Jensen's, the guy who just did what he was supposed to do. That's your Chris Meyer, I assume, who was probably, he was an Air Force pilot, I think. So probably not a dummy, right? Like probably pretty bright, maybe a 90th percentile guy. But the issue is I showed up the first week and the FBI said we were created in 1908 and we were called the Bureau of Investigation. And I looked at it, my buddy who was sitting next to me, who's another very high performer. And the two of us, like we used to joke, like, how is it that I lost my job at the FBI before him? Because he's more of a wild card than I am. We look at each other and we go, well, if you were created as the Bureau of Investigation and you were officially declared by Congress to be the FBI in 1935, your birthday is in 1935. There's precedent for this in the federal government. The Air Force was created under the Army Signal Corps, then the Army Air Lies right up front. If somebody lies about their birthday, like, why are they lying about something that doesn't matter? They're stacking it that way, but that's the only way I look at it. That was obvious to me in the first week. I went home to my wife after our classes were over in the first week. They're not even teaching FBI stuff. They're just saying, welcome to being a federal employee. I said, honey, I'm going to try to do 20 years here, but I think it's going to be a rough go. I don't know if I can find enough small bites to be able to eat a 20-year career. And I turned out like I actually got longer than most people would expect. Anybody who, like, apparently one of my Quantico counselors went forward and was one of the architects of getting rid of the unvaccinated Christians, a woman named Dina Perkins, who's been widely reported in various different news outlets. And she apparently said, I was one of the biggest mistakes the FBI ever made. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. I was one of the worst mistakes, Alex. I'm a big problem. I think sure, what so I did is I embarrassed the FBI because I think critically.
Even Rasmussen, that's the most accurate, and you know, they like Trump overall. They say right. 5 points in his base, 14 points in independence, just a slaughter. And now he keeps doubling down and flip-flopping the worst activities he could do. And you're saying, obviously it's bad advice to the other people, but I think Trump's doing this himself. What do you think is going on there? And then where do you see this going?
I think this is pride, unfortunately. And I think that this is just the nature of things. Like, I think they're playing Trump against himself, which is that he doesn't like to backtrack. He doesn't admit that he's wrong. Occasionally, if something is not a big deal, but he gets a pushback, he'll fix it early on. But this is far committed. So now he's stuck in this weird vortex of just, no matter what he does, he's not going to be able to unprove the unprovable. You can't prove a negative.
But the more he says don't ask about it, the more they're going to do it. He certainly knows that.
Yeah, of course. And this is what we know about this is what I've been told about what his name is referenced as far as the Epstein files go. The main reference that FBI had about him, which was apparently asked to be redacted, and this is actually not a big deal. He should have just published it. The story goes something like Jeffrey Epstein was interviewed, was complaining, I guess, in writing to either his attorneys or someone that was similar to that, and said, I don't understand why I'm catching such a bum rap. You know, other guys don't get such a bum rap for things that they do wrong. And and they mentioned Donald Trump, not that he was involved in children or pedophilia or anything else, but simply that he's, you know, a bad guy, but he doesn't get, you know, caught up in the same way that Jeffrey Epstein was. He's not going to go to jail and end up in this thing. So that was the claim. It was
just
innocuous reference.
That's a huge thing. But nothing been accurate for years. Start over from your sources, because mine were his wife's a hooker that worked for Epstein. That's recycled. That's now come out. They've retracted. I predicted that would happen. Right. Jane Doe's, it weren't real people. They've tried that. Trump gets pissed. Oh, my God. They've got this file. Obviously, they spiked it. I think that's reasonable. They did control the file. Let's elaborate. But you're saying from your information, that's it. Elaborate.
Yeah, that was the entirety of it. It's actually what I would call non-derogatory information. That's the way we would categorize
it. Start over. I interrupted. This is important. Walk through it slowly.
Real simply, there was a communication between Jeffrey Epstein. It was either a captured jail call or something to that effect. And he was communicating to someone that he was displeased with the unfair treatment that he got. And he referenced several people who had less unfair treatment than what he was getting. And Donald Trump was one of the names. And it wasn't in reference to like pedophilia in general. It was just about being demonized in public, as far as I understand it. So that was the claim that I heard, that was probably briefed in a much more negative light to Trump by the time it got to him. Because why tell him the truth? You tell him it's something much more salacious. And then he made some decisions based on that information, all of which after that point had been bad. That's the understanding that I have, that it was what I would, again, call non-derogatory information. And every PR move since then has basically locked him into this pattern of behavior where he's going to go back and forth. They've claimed they're going to get grand jury information. The grand jury information was substantially the same as presented in court. All this stuff is actually fairly old. So if there was
sure,
new
Jeffrey
Epstein
information,
what do you make of the
Republicans subpoenaing all the FBI directors and AGs?
This is executive information. So what are they going to do? Most of them have NDAs where they're actually not allowed to share information because it's not theirs. If they're going to go out there and they're going to call these people, this is all dog and pony to me. You're talking about something that if the Trump administration
so
really
posturing.
Wanted this, yeah, of course. Because look, if there was information that wanted to be released, who's the ultimate authority on declassifying and sharing information in the United States?
Trump.
It's the president. The end. There's no negotiation. So it doesn't matter what Mike Johnson asked for or Chuck Grassley goes for, or, you know, Jim Jordan.
Oh,
you can
I love
have
the
all Q-tards. The hearings you want.
Trump is doing this trillion D chess to make the Democrats release it. He's got full control.
He owns it all. Yeah, you don't need somebody else's permission when you're the boss. And so anyone arguing otherwise, look, I think they're trapped in a PR nightmare and they keep making the wrong moves. I think you and I actually gave the best advice early on, which was just stop talking about it. And eventually it would go away, or do some wins. Or the easiest thing you could do is lay your cards on the table and say, we have been partially honest with you, but I understand why you think we're being deceptive. Let us earn your trust with this open press conference.
Sure. So how did you know 6 months ago when you told me off air and 4 months ago on air, you're not getting anything? How did you know that? And then B, this is killing Trump. What would you advise him to do at this point?
I just watched 5 points, you know, establish the same line of best fit. It was just simple analysis. I'm watching what things are going on. I'm seeing that the people that are setting up the bad decisions inside the FBI, it's personnel decisions. It's not, getting rid of certain people. It's promoting the wrong people. It tells me that the bad advice theater is going on inside there, that they're getting all kinds of sort of nefarious actors that are trying to move things the way that they want. They're protecting them. And if you can discredit Donald Trump as you go, then that would be better. You've got an FBI that spent the last, 3 years investigating Donald Trump. If you want to be more broad, you can go back to 2015, 2016. So you could say it's been the last almost 10 years that they've done it in some fashion at some level. But it got down to the street agents by the time you passed 2020, and you got buy-in across the board. I know new agents that just quit. They were like, look, I didn't sign up for any of this crap.
Let me raise this. I'm giving a gestalt on this, but I read a lot of history books about the West and, all of it. Native America is very interesting. And Quanta Parker and all that, because I found Comanches very interesting, because I'm a little bit Comanche on my dad's side of the family. You couldn't infiltrate the Comanches. They wouldn't work with you. But you could actually infiltrate the Apaches and some others a little bit. If I was going to be the U.S. Army that in a few years is going to declare a new territory and say, Arizona or whatever, which they did, I would go in, establish places selling guns and whiskey. I'd get to know them. I would have, people that have some of the Apaches they work with to get intel. I'd act like they were their friend. And then I would actually use that information. Why wouldn't Akash Patel, even if he's with the deep state or wants to just play both sides, bring in a Kyle Serafin that's proven he knows what he's doing and then use the intel against the deep state? Like, if they were really sophisticated and really evil, I'm not trying to give them pointers here, I'm just being sophisticated, or Machiavelli. Why do they think siding with the known bad guys and letting them create the data file to control them is smart? Why would they not get somebody like you who doesn't want to be a double agent, but would effectively be that, to tell them how the roadmap works? It's so unsophisticated for them to go into this shark's nest, this wasp nest, this barrel of snakes, and do this. It's so stupid. Why did they not, when you offered and they were asking you for help early on, why did they not bring you in?
First of all, I was just amused, but the tactic you talked about, that's what the Jesuits did when they brought Christendom out to a lot of the West. So why would you not have a Kyle Serafin? Why would you not have a Gerardo Boyle or a Steve Friend or someone come in? There's a simple reason, Alex. Whistleblowers are a threat to the integrity of the system, because they're not go-along people. They've already shown a propensity against their best interests. For anybody who wants to claim Kyle Serafin was planted by the FBI, at great personal cost to myself, I lost my home. I made my 3 children and eventually 4 children homeless.
That's the oldest thing to say, people with bona fides are fake.
When you find people who are willing to basically be the person that jumps on that grenade, be a white martyr, whatever it may be, or say, my principles stand alone. The joke that we used to have is that principles only matter if you have them, right? My buddy Steve says that. That's the case. I said, it shouldn't surprise people in the FBI that when you supposedly are vetting people, that they have integrity. It shouldn't surprise you when someone demonstrates a certain amount of integrity. I believed what the FBI was doing was wrong. I started whistleblowing my first year in the Bureau, and I clearly highlighted myself as a problem. We had letters that were written to the Office of General Counsel in 2019 showing that the surveillance program was doing things that were dangerous to the surveillance program, but it was actually just very administrative type stuff. By the time they started going after Christians or trying to eliminate people for the J6 stuff, and they were saying who's going to be on board and who's not, when they were doing, parental surveillance.
Well, that's my point, is don't they know history? Lying? If they want to protect an institution, you protect it by working with people, like any Green Beret would tell you, with force multiplication. They're only worried about the bureaucracy. The bureaucracy's falling. It's under attack. It'll never be Humpty Dumpty. It's never going to put back together again. And I don't think the general government bureaucrat, not just FBI, understands you've lost. It doesn't matter how long it takes. There's no way this gets put back together. Why don't they just come over to our side for reform and be heroes?
You know what? I think the other thing, somebody told me this is a retired FBI agent said that no one's ever done what I've done, which is that I basically said, you can't buy me. You can't give me my job back and silence me. You can't put me somewhere where I'm going to go away. You can't tell people that I'm a piece of garbage because the things I'm saying are correct. And so nobody's ever gone and said, I'm going to destroy my anonymity. I'm going to destroy any future prospects of working in the job. Like, I spent 10 years trying to get to federal law enforcement. I did law. The military service. I worked in emergency medicine. I went and eventually worked for the FBI. Like, I spent a lot of time to get there. Most people won't take 10 years of their life and flush it down the toilet and say, you know what? I'm going to just go and say things that I believe are true. And that's what I've done. I believe they're true. You know, some of the things I've said are probably not true, or they're, you know, they've been discredited in some way. But the vast majority of what I've said, I believe them to be true at the time. I said what I believe was true, and I'll stand by the things I've said.
Well, you've been questioned about my entire Twitter account. I mean, in closing, we're out of time. Oh, it's coming up. Let me ask you this. Gut level, how do you see this ending? With Trump, because he keeps going. I mean, they're going to have hearings now. He's throwing fuel on the fire.
Yeah, there's two possibilities. One of them is that we hit the mountain really hard because people don't change course. So we continue to roll in. The midterms are a slaughter. The Democrats tie it up in investigations and subpoenas and distract the American people. And 2025 becomes a coin toss for a very, very weak and terrible party versus, you know, the Republican Party, which is not doing a whole lot better. They're not doing the things they said. Remember, Mike Johnson went in there. The whole thing he said he was going to do was give a single issue, single line, appropriations and spending bills. And they've never done that. They did a big omnibus bill. So I'm not crazy about the way they
work. Sabotage the recess appointments.
That's right. So one of them is we go and we're going to dive headfirst in the mountain because they're going to keep doing this path. The other one is you pull up. I don't know what the pull up looks like, but it's going to have to involve a change in tactics and a change in trajectory. You have to actually start going after bad
people. Deep staters, could that be the beginning of a pull up?
I think that he needs to do a lot more than that. And he also needs to replace the guys like Dan Bongino. Look, Dan Bongino is miserable where he's at. He doesn't want to be there. I don't want him to be there for him as a human being. And I don't think he's good for the country or the bureau.
Patel's going
to
pull up. I think the scandal will make Trump pull it up.
Possibly. What that means, though, is you need to have somebody who knows the F, and you don't have that currently, and you're not going to get that from the people that have been able to hold on to their jobs. You need someone that's going to disrupt the system, and I would recommend someone that's retired, that's former FBI, not myself. I don't want anything to do with it. You need someone that's got 20 years of experience, that worked in headquarters.
No, you're right. We're out of time, Kyle. Thanks offices. For almost 2 hours. KyleServin.com. Join us again soon, next week. Amazing. People can find your podcast. Incredible. This is a huge scandal, but a healthy one. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it, Alex.
All right, I said I'd play these movie clips, but I want you to see them for yourself. Last hour, I said, InfoWars, next Wednesday, state court, the same rigged court, trying to shut us down. It's like the last Matrix where the robot drills, the Matrix drills are coming down into the base to get us. That's where we are. There's a short clip of that. Then I want to play the Wrath of Khan clip, where Spock doesn't want to die, but they're all going to die if he doesn't do it. It's at that point, don't you want to save everybody, even if you got to die? You got to make the decision. And it's that they fear from Christians. And the thing is, Captain Kirk at the end, when he's doing his funeral, says he was the most human person I ever knew, even though he wasn't human. The point is, this is the real human trait. You're not a mindless communist that sacrifices yourself when the commies tell you. It's when God tells you to do it, you do it. And that's what this is all about. Your name, your treasure, everything. And if your life, I'm fully committed. But here's the clip from The Matrix, and we'll go into the Wrath of Khan. They come in, we've survived so much, people are like, oh, you're fine, you'll survive forever, it's nothing's really happening. We're literally in the bunker with them drilling through the walls right now. It's okay, it'll be a big spectacular deal. They shut us down, very good chance it will, and we beat it next week. It's like 2 weeks after that, but it's okay. Just remember you heard this, and to find out where we are, then share it. They don't want you to know, and your support is our guns on the enemy. You buy the products at thealexjonesstore.com. The methylene blue is so good for you. The t-shirts, the books, the films. That's the ammo in our guns. We can keep firing. When we run out of ammo, you know what happens. You reload our ammo, folks. Here we go. This is InfoWars right now. Alexjonesstore.com. You know what happens? That's okay. That'll be spectacular. Then you go, oh my God. And then we get a big, but I'm not pulling punches. I'm not giving up the base. But this is where we are right now. All right, we probably can't play the whole Wrath of Khan thing. We'll put it in post. We post it on X. Go to the Wrath of Khan.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
No response, Admiral.
Scotty.
Mr. Sulu.
Get us out of here. Best possible speed.
Aye, sir.
Are you out of your Vulcan mind? No human can tolerate the radiation that's in there.
As you are so fond of observing, Doctor, I am not human.
You're not going in there.
Perhaps you're right. What is Mr. Scott's condition?
Well, I don't think that he...
I'm sorry, Doctor. I have no time to discuss this logically. Remember.
Sir, the mains are back online.
No! You'll flood the whole compartment.
He'll die.
Sir, he's dead already.
It's too late.
Anyways, the whole point is that they're going to get our kids. They're going to get the whole species. They're going to get it all. You're not giving anything up fighting these people. You're gaining everything right now. And we know we're up against pure evil. And so all I ask people to do is realize you have everything to lose by not fighting. Who cares what the left or the globalists say? Who cares if they attack you? You want to be attacked by these people. You want to be over the target getting the flag because you know you're doing your job. And that's what this comes down to. Owen Schroyer takes over with the War Room. You'll find the feed on Owen Schroyer's feed. You'll find it at Real Alex Jones on X, Infowars.com/show. We'll continue to fight on, but they're drilling in right now. And if we have the ammo, we win. If we don't, it's okay. We continue on regardless. We'll be a testament to everybody just like the Alamo. But I need your support now at thealexjonesstore.com. It's the last day to get buy one bottle, get one free. That goes for the T-shirts, everything else. Buy a T-shirt, buy a whatever. You're fools if you don't do it, because we're fighting for our own collective futures together. Stay with us. Much Warrior takes over.
Alex Jones has good genes. In fact, there's only one thing better than Alex's genes. Alex's genes on Methylene Blue. Just look at those pecs. That charm. The focus. Get your Methylene Blue now at thealexjonesstore.com and make good genes great again.
For a limited time, you can get this limited edition murdered out InfoWars shirt at thealexjonesstore.com with the American flag on the shoulder. It's historic and it funds the operation. We've got other cool shirts that just came in as well. The new Liberty Bell 1776 Declaration of Independence shirt is out. It's limited edition and it's got my signature on the back. That really triggers libtards. And then there's this limited edition. I weaponized the American people. It was actually you weaponized them and we're winning. Get it all now at thealexjonesstore.com. Thanks for your support.
Ultimate Fish Oil is not just a supplement, but a statement.
Morning! Morning!
Not only can Ultimate Fish Oil from InfoWarsStore.com help your heart, mind, and joints, but it keeps InfoWars on the air.
Morning! Morning.
Your heart is the engine of your life, and Ultimate Fish Oil is the premium fuel it craves.
Morning.
Ultimate Fish Oil is your cognitive clarity captain. The DHA in this formula is a foundational stone for brain health. Ultimate Fish Oil is your joint health general. The soothing reduction in inflammation ensures you'll feel invincible in the info war. InfoWars has never wavered from its mission, and with Ultimate Fish Oil, neither will you. Step up to the plate, nourish your body, and nourish the fight for a future where the new world order is defeated. Get it now at InfoWarsStore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.